Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Welcome back to the table. We are happy to keep going through Matthew today as we, you know, we get over going over the Sermon on the Mount, which is a lot of fun. I liked that one a lot. Yeah. I liked going through that and digging in and seeing, like, we kind of talked about everything that we knew was in there but didn't know exactly where. Yeah. So it's like one of those things, like, what's one of those things you know that's in the Bible but you don't know where? The whole Sermon on the Mount. I knew it was all in the Bible. I just didn't know that that was during that.
That's my new guess. Yep. Every time I'm like, now where is that at? Oh, let's just look at Matthew.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Today, though, we wanted to kind of start out something. I know we don't do this as often as we should, but we're gonna start out with a word of prayer. Today we had posted on the Facebook page in regarding to what everybody's prayer requests were, because there's a lot of heaviness going on in our world and everybody's lives. There's emotions that are going on, and the one thing that I know that I need to be better at, so again, this is Liz preaching to Liz, is prayer. You know, it's something that I don't do. I'd rather try to handle it on my own, you know, independent woman. I can figure it out, right? But I know that we had asked for prayer requests, and we had just an abundance of people just today. And I know that there'll be more tomorrow, and we want to make sure that we're covering everybody in prayer. And we want you guys to know that we look at these, we read these, we pray for you. You know, we're off air, we're talking about writing them down so that way we make sure that these are taken to God in prayer. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're two or more gathered, he's here, you know, he's listening, and we all know the power of prayer. It's just sometimes hard to remember the power of prayer.
Yeah, very much. All right, so I'll start us with a word of prayer then. Well, Lord, we just come to you boldly this evening, and we thank you that we have this opportunity to be together as friends to talk through your word, Lord, but also to lift up some of our other friends with the request they so boldly put out today, Lord. And Lord, the best part about prayer is we know that you already know all the concerns and questions of our heart, of our head. And so we give you all of those, Lord, so the ones that are written down on our Facebook post, but also the ones that are maybe unwritten or unknown in our, or how we don't know how to write them too, Lord. We know that you know them all. So today we just want to lift up Laura and Katie and Linda and Rachel. We want to list up Monica, Eileen, Tracy, Jessica, and so many more who just need those prayers, Lord. You know the requests that they put out for the different family situations or work situations, or, you know, for Texas and North Carolina and just all of the things happening in our world, Lord. And we just want to give it to you. We know that you hear these prayers, Lord. And we just fervently pray that you would work in each of our lives and in each of the situations so that your will would be done. And so we give that to you boldly today, Lord. And we thank you so much for the blessings and the gifts of being your children, even in the midst of the stuff that may be weighing us down. So we thank you, Lord, and we give these prayers to you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, so we're going to move on right into Matthew chapter 8. And so I'll start with reading that one. I am going to read out of the Christian Standard, just so that way we all have a little bit of a different version. So that, and I made sure to actually make my notes that are in my NLT in this one too. So hopefully I make sense. We'll find out. make as much sense as I normally do.
Yes.
I'm not saying it makes sense,
you know. But. No, here you go.
You make sense to me, Liz.
Well, thank you. That's, you know, I guess that's all that matters. If you guys understand me, that's all that matters.
All that matters, amen.
All right, so Matthew chapter 8. When he came down from the mountain, the large crowd Crowds followed him. Right away, a man with leprosy came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Reaching out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, "I am willing, be made clean." Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus told him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When he entered Capernaum, I think that sounds right, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible agony." He said to him, "Am I to come and heal him?" "Lord," the centurion replied, "I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." Hearing this, Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I tell you that many will come from east and west to share the banquet with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus told this centurion, "Go, as you have believed, let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that very moment. Jesus went into Peter's house and saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. So he touched her hand and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to serve him. When the evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he drove out spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, so that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. He himself took our weaknesses and carried our diseases. When Jesus saw a large crowd around him, he gave the order to the other side of the sea. A scribe approached him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus told him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." "Lord," another of his disciples said, "let me go bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Apparently I cannot read today, so I apologize. As he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a violent storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being swarmed by the waves, but Jesus kept sleeping. So the disciples came and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are going to die." And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him." When he had come to the other side, to the region of Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him as they came out of the tombs. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. Suddenly they shouted, "What do you have to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" A long way off from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. "If you drive us out," the demons begged him, "send us into the herd of pigs." "Go," he told them. So when they had come out, they entered the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the water. Then the men who tended them fled. They went into the city and reported everything, especially what had happened to those who were demon-possessed. At that, the whole town went out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. I always feel like I need better glasses when I'm trying to read. I'm like, these words are so small.
But the lighting's not great in the basement either.
I'm like, the lighting's fine, and it's almost going, I... I have new prescription.
We'll just say it's
coming.
Both. It's both.
Yeah. It's like my age is showing.
I tell you
what. That's actually why I went to my iPad today, because I can make the print larger. So you're good.
Makes sense.
Yep.
So I always think of when it talks about healing Peter's mother-in-law, I think of The Chosen. Where, like, he heals her, she sits right up.
It's true. I forgot about that.
I always go to this verse when people are like, how do you know Peter was married? Like, he doesn't talk about a wife. No, but you talk about his mother-in-law, and he wouldn't have a mother-in-law if he didn't have a wife. Whether or not she was as depicted in The Chosen or not,
yeah,
you know, she was there. Yeah.
There's lots of dramatic license in a movie or a TV show like The Chosen to the point of adding some things that help to tell the story better in their terms.
Right.
Yeah.
That one does not hurt anything. That one actually helps me to think about Peter in a different way. So I like it.
Yeah, agreed.
True.
And then even more so when you hear that, you know, I think it's in Josephus that says the day that Peter and Paul were both killed on the very same day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but Peter's wife went first.
Yeah.
So it's commented that Peter had got to witness his wife actually being executed first.
Yeah.
But that was only, and it's in a historical document, so I apologize if it's not Josephus, but I know we've talked about it before, and for some reason my brain doesn't want to remember exactly where that's found, but I feel like the one we reference the most is Josephus.
Josephus.
Because it's not going to be in the Book of Enoch, because that was way prior.
Yeah. I know they talk, I don't know if it was in Josephus or if it was just kind of church history or tradition that stated that.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure. But it kind of tells you a little bit more of what they all went through.
Agreed. So I always found it interesting, and it's one of those things that kind of stuck out that right in the beginning, you know, he heals that man and he says, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of looked that up a little bit when I was, you know, going through these chapters, and I was like, what? I know he has his reason, because Jesus doesn't tell you to do something without a reason for it,
uh-huh.
You know, and a lot of it is, you know, he wanted to make sure that his mission wasn't lost. It wasn't overlooked because people just wanted to be healed. He wanted to make sure his message was actually getting out there, and knowing I can heal you, but let me tell you why I can heal you.
Yeah.
He didn't want it to be almost like a sideshow type thing.
Yeah.
Which it could have, well, and did sometimes easily turn into, right?
Yeah.
So.
But usually there's also in it, there's that statement. So Jesus says, tell no one. And then the next statement is, they went and told everyone.
Yeah.
What did I joke about with my youth group when I was to teach this story? I'd be like, it's like opposite day. Like maybe he told them the opposite thing he actually wanted to have happen.
Right.
It's like every time I tell you guys to stop something, you keep doing it. So maybe that's what Jesus is going for. They're like, why would he do that? I said, exactly. He's just telling them. He's telling them because he's trying to say, I don't want it to just be about the miracles. I want it to be about what I'm teaching you. And yes, the miracles are important. I mean, because that's what chapter 8, 9, and 10 are about, is miracles.
Yep.
And, you know, him seeing the fruition of now his journey on earth, besides the Sermon on the Mount, which is also that, but
right.
Why he's here to teach and show us things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is more than just about the miracles and things like that, although they obviously keep happening.
Right.
So.
So this was also, like, they also had it referenced in, well, obviously, because it's a gospel. So Mark chapter 1, 41 through 45 kind of shows what happens when people don't, when people do tell everybody. So the crowds get too big. So the city doesn't want him in there because it's too much going on. And so he's asked to leave.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of, it diverts his mission. It's kind of hindering it more than helping it.
Or when the guy has to come through the roof.
Right, yeah, because he just can't get in. Yeah, he can't get in.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Well, and I also like that he's trying to, by having him go to the priest, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's also trying to show that it's more than just a miracle to a point, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's prophecy being fulfilled.
Yes.
which is what they all, we all need to witness, to see, to experience, you know, in some fashion in our world. So,
yeah.
And if anybody wants to look that up just for a fun reference, that commandment, like that whole, all of the purification stuff that they have to go to is in Leviticus chapter 14, and then it's verses 2 through 32. And due to that length, I'm not reading them here today. And it is a lot. It is like, it's a lot.
Yeah. You mean you don't have it memorized, Liz?
No, sorry. That one is,
I don't know. You guys did that in Bible school like we did? No, I'm sure.
If they had made that into a song, maybe.
Well, I think that's what's so interesting about the Levitical laws and all that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. All the things they used to have to do until Jesus came.
Yeah.
Until the prophecy was fulfilled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you, I just can't imagine. If you've ever read Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you just go, how many goats do these people have? And how many different offerings did they do in a day? And how many, your purification rites, all the things. I just can't.
So I guess on that aspect, what happened to that part? Because I don't believe that practicing Jews do that anymore.
Or they do. They do some of the purification stuff, like when they're with their food and things like that. Now, I'm not an expert. Please, anyone who is, you can overspeak for me or tell me I'm wrong. I'm totally fine with that. But they have some of those things. Obviously, they don't do all the sacrificial things, but they do a lot of the purification rituals still, maybe at certain high holy times, not daily. I'm sure there might be a group that is still purists in the way. I don't know what that term would be. Anyway, I'm just saying, I'm sure there are some people who do some of that,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I don't know.
And I believe they don't do the sacrificial stuff anymore because there's not a temple, right?
Correct. Hmm. I believe.
So,
if we're wrong, somebody tell us, because I'd be curious to know.
Yeah,
for
I'd
sure.
be very curious yeah. to know. So anybody knows, please tell us, because that's just something I didn't have this question when I was looking at it and looking everything up.
Mm-hmm.
I have this question now when we're all sitting here. You know?
Well, I know we, for our Seder meal this year at church, we had a gentleman from an organization called Jews for Jesus come mm-hmm. and do our Seder meal. Oh, and it's just amazing how he talks about the rite of Seder, right? And the process they go through to get all the different parts of the Seder meal, the dry herbs, all those things. And so that's why I know that there's still very much rituals, purification things, a lot of the laws they follow, but some of them they do follow maybe in different ways. But so I know that they still are very, very much in tune with those things, but I don't know that it's obviously mm-hmm. to the degree it was in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and years of old, you know, that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah. But that is really neat that you had that guy come.
Because
mm-hmm. it was amazing.
We do a cedar meal, but it's like a Christ-centered cedar meal. But even reading about it, sorry to bring up The Chosen again, but this last season of Chosen, it actually shows them having the Passover meal. And I'm like,
oh, yeah,
that's not how I envisioned that.
Yeah, it was really, really neat to have him there and explaining things. And it was quick. I wish there's a couple different versions you can do, obviously, but we did the evening church version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to have him come and do the more involved experience, but it was really, really neat.
Mm-hmm.
It was neat. Because it just gives you a whole appreciation for what they went through to get to that meal. To honor God in that way too, mm-hmm. with all the different symbols and thoughts and words and preparations and still obviously what some people still do today with all that. I just think it's neat. I don't know that it's for me.
Yeah.
But maybe God would show me if it was, you know.
Right. Right.
Well, and I think it goes back to just like you said, the fulfillment. Jesus fulfilled all of that. So it's not something we have to focus on, because then if we focus on that becomes more important than what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I've decided what, you know, reading through these, I highlighted it today, and I think I'm like, I think I need this tattooed in a place where I can see it all the time, where, you know, Jesus says, why are you afraid? You have little faith. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know, I already have be still on my arm on purpose, you know, yeah. for Exodus 14:14, you know, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still.
Yeah.
That's why I have it there. But I feel like that needs to go underneath it. You know, why are you afraid? You have little mm-hmm. faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even though, like, you know, he's talking to the disciples in this very specific moment, I feel like that is a sentence he probably mm-hmm. says to me daily.
Yeah.
I was just going to say daily, if you're like me.
Hourly sometimes, depending on my spiral.
Yeah. But, you know, not to give us any leeway, but also makes me feel a little bit better about myself. Because his disciples was just there. They saw him.
Yeah.
You know. Here, cleanse the leper. Hear the centurion's servant. They've seen him heal so many, and they still was afraid.
Yeah,
and he was right there beside them. So,
yeah,
I do agree, but it also makes you wonder. Like, it does make you feel like it makes them more real mm-hmm. to be for them to be that scared. Cause I would be,
oh yeah,
I don't like water. You know, I don't like turbulence when you're flying. I don't like waves when you're on a boat, you know? And I can imagine instincts for them were like, this is not a storm that we're going to survive. Like, this is not how this works. Forgetting that you have the Son of God in the boat with mm-hmm. you. You know, and he's just sleeping.
We actually just talked about this in our staff devotions. I think it was early last week. We were just talking about all the things we want to go. How did he sleep in the boat? I can't sleep on a boat like that. How is he sleeping? Because he's got the peace of knowing his Father. And he mm-hmm. actually relies and lives in it and rests in it. And yeah. the reason we can't rest in those situations is even though we are trying our hardest 90% of the time, whatever that percentage is in your you know, your world, mm-hmm. you're still not fully trusting
yeah.
in him. So you're not going to get that rest and that comfort that comes from what Jesus experiences, because he is the Son of Man.
Yeah.
And it's the faith of the centurion, right? Like, gosh, how did he have faith? But the disciples still, like you said, are questioning. How does he heal all these people and people still don't believe? How do you see all, like, here's the thing I struggle with sometimes is I'm a person who likes to see the tangible and, like, touch and feel mm-hmm. and, you know, like, I need, is this pen real? Yes. I'm holding a pen up for the podcast because I forgot we were doing a podcast for a second. but is this real? Like, I'm really touching it really right. So, what, you know, whatever that is, because I'm a tangible person sometimes.
Yeah.
And I forget that it's also okay to just know God's got it no matter what.
Yeah. Yep. You know, I think definitely, you know, he had that peace and he could sleep anywhere. But it also makes me think, you know, shows that he was really a man. You know,
yeah.
he was just exhausted probably too.
Yeah. yeah. I'm just tired.
Right. Just give me a minute. Also, taking it back just a little bit. Just again, for anybody's writing down anything, but the message where they said so what was spoken through the prophet of Isaiah might be fulfilled, that's from Isaiah 53:4. Just because I like to know where that kind of stuff comes from. So every time it says for this and that and this and that, I'm like, where? Let me find it out. Let me make sure. And then I'll write it on this one and then I'll go back into Isaiah and I'll write, okay, so Matthew 8, you know, and put like that verse down so that way I can correlate them later whenever I try to dig through Isaiah again.
Which I think is pretty awesome because it shows how Jesus fulfilled it and where he fulfilled it and where mm-hmm. it says that it's coming.
Mm-hmm. But it also goes back to the whole point where, you know, people don't really quite agree that it was actually Matthew that wrote this. so to speak. They're like, oh, it was unknown author. And I'm like, yeah, but it's titled Matthew. Like, I mean, I'm sure that wasn't like, I don't think Matthew put his name at the top of the paper. Like, mm-hmm. this is how it needs to go in the Bible, you guys. But it's showing it's written by somebody who understood and wanted to make sure that the Jewish community understood that he's fulfilling all of this stuff that we learned about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, let me show you how many times he's fulfilling these prophecies that we've literally lived our lives to see.
Yeah.
That we've prayed for, that we've followed, we've done all of these things. And so it's like, he's just making sure, like, that's why it's almost, and I know we said it in the beginning, but it's completely evident that he is writing to the Hebrews because he wants them to see the truth that he knows.
Yep. That word fulfillment keeps popping into my head as we've said it a few times about mm-hmm. different things. Like one of my things that I strive for is to fulfill other people's expectations, right?
Yes.
Imagine being the Son of Man. The fulfillment. Yeah. It makes me want to stop striving for that. Not because I don't want to help people or be something for people. That's not what I'm saying. It just feels impossible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because only God can fulfill that. Mm. And yeah. I just think that's really neat to think about, because like you're saying with the prophet Isaiah, he took our sickness, he removed our diseases. I was reading through the prayer requests earlier, and some of them are for people who are struggling with different health issues. And just because God doesn't like cure the cancer in the way we think we want the cure, he does remove the disease.
Yes.
Right. He does heal, just maybe not always the way we want to be healed. And yep. So I think that word fulfillment always just strikes me to my core. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It's just a word that I really should do a whole big word study on that word.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
It also makes me wonder, though, because, you know, he was man, but he knew all this stuff, yep. and he's trying to tell the disciples, and he's trying to tell them what's going on and what's happening. If we want to just smack them in the head sometimes, like, we're fulfilling it the way God has chosen to fulfill it, how he had planned to fulfill it, not the way you want me to do it.
Yeah.
Kind of like you were saying, same with us, you know, with prayer request. Well, yeah. I'm praying about this, but Lord, if you just do it this way, A, B, C, and D, in that order, please.
That's going to work great for me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yep. The other aspect I thought about while we were sitting here and you guys were talking about that is, or, you know, that you're talking about you want to fulfill everybody's expectations of you, right? So you're, I mean, by definition, like me, a people pleaser. You want to make sure that everybody's happy, and you're the peacemaker, and that's always been my lot in life, and I'm fine being a peacemaker. I actually enjoy it, mostly. But, you know, there's times.
Amen. No, amen. That's why I'm laughing.
So, you know, but there's also a time. So you got to look at it. And I didn't look at it until you said this out loud. But Jesus came to fulfill these things. And he's not fulfilling them in the way that people expected him to.
Yep.
But he still fulfilled them. And so how he didn't struggle with, well, they're expecting me to do this and I'm not. He knew his mission. He knew what his God, his Father, told him to do, mm-hmm. and how he told him to do it and when he told him to do it, and he did it.
And it's so much bigger than what they can imagine.
Yeah.
They're thinking, oh, he's coming to free us of the Romans.
Yep.
But he was coming to give us such a big gift.
To free us from a lot more than just mm-hmm. the Romans.
Well, yeah, and I'm saying much more than that. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
But how quickly we want to, when I say we, I say Leslie.
Yep.
Want to simplify it and make it about me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's definitely what the Lord's been trying to show me lately, which I love, but I hate. But I love, but I hate.
I know. It's a lesson I learn, and then I forget that I learned it, and then I get to learn again. And then I forget that I learned it again. And then he
shows you again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably why my head hurts today, because I've been hitting the wall with my head against the wall.
I have had a headache for like a week. I can't get rid of it. It won't go away.
I have one that's been coming and going.
It's like, I don't know. I try to drink more water today, and by result, I've been in the bathroom more often today than anything else. So I'm like, oh, maybe that's it. Because it's not like anything's blooming right now.
I think it's the heat.
It's so,
humidity, summer. That's what I'm going to call it.
Work, life.
Yeah, I mean those things too.
Yeah. Maybe.
The cost of following Jesus is a headache. No, I'm just kidding. I don't mean that. I mean that it's constantly, here's the truth part of it, even though I was trying to make a joke. The truth part of it is a headache because we have to be working hard to do it.
Yeah.
To follow Jesus. I'm not saying he gives us a headache because he doesn't do that, but.
No.
I'm saying, like, sometimes because we make it so complicated, that's where we get our headaches. Mm-hmm. Not a lot about that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And it's the culture. We're going against the world.
Amen. So
he's made it easy, but it's always a constant swimming upstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Against the world.
Yeah. Yep.
Because we're told to stand apart.
Yep. Yep.
And I do find myself struggling, I think, with that more. The more we're more vocal here in the podcast and at church and out in the world, I find it that you get pressured a little bit more on the things that you're trying to work on. Mm-hmm. Or the things that you didn't think you had a problem with. Like, I didn't think I had a problem with gossiping, and then yet here I go saying some things that I don't think need to be said. Or that... Mm-hmm. You know, just to be agreed with or included or, mm-hmm. You know, and so then I had to catch myself and apologize. And
sometimes I even think, oh, I shouldn't be saying this, but let me tell
you. Let me tell you what. Yeah. That, and I was thinking even this morning during my quiet time, I'm like, I need to work on. I mean, my mouth is a consistent thing. I mean, I'm not shy about that. That is a consistent work. In progress. Yeah. But I'm finding that it's been worse in not so much work, but in no progress in that field. So I'm like, I was convicted this morning. It's like, okay, I need to start working on that a little bit more. There's no reason. I don't need to say half the words I say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same.
You know, there are so many other words that can, I mean, I understand that it's the intent behind the word. So I could say, what the heck? You know, instead of something else, or, you know, like my grandmother always says when she's upset, she'll go, oh, sugar jets. And I'm like, I could say that, but it's still, it still means the same thing. But yet nobody's going to say, I can't believe she just said sugar jets. Other than like, what in the world does that mean? You know, but there's not like, ooh, she's a Christian and she just said sugar jets. You know, she's not going to, that's not happening. You know, but again, so maybe that's a little conforming of the world, because there's nothing in this Bible that says our cuss words didn't exist.
Yeah.
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 To my knowledge. And
cussing is taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
In any way.
Yep.
But.
And that encompasses more than I was ever raised to understand, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. That's not only just, there's no reason to say his name derogatory,
yeah,
in that way, but it's also, are you doing something in his name that's not
all right,
holy,
yeah,
offering to him?
One thing that I've been aware of lately is I'll say, oh my Lord, oh Lord, you know, but that's the same.
Yeah, that's I do that too. Yeah. Okay. I didn't even think about it that way.
Okay. I say dear Lord a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I do sometimes. There's days I catch myself, I try to make it a prayer.
Like, but I tell you what really gets you is we have a friend that's started watching my boys a little bit, and I've been made aware of certain words and stuff my boys, who are 6 and 8, have been saying, that I'm like, oh, that's not really nice words. We shouldn't say that in front of little girls.
Oh, no.
Yep. It's one that I didn't think much of because of who they've been around. It was, but it really doesn't matter. It's,
yeah.
and the hard part is you want to give them the room to figure out and, you know, be who they are, but you want to give them parameters too. And,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Just like adults, like I don't want to squash, you know, my husband works in a prison. There's a lot of swear words in prison. Not that that's good or bad. That's just what it is. But I don't want to step over him to say, don't say those words in front of me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to keep it to, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to go with that. But anyway, the general words.
the ones that are allowed in PG-13 movies, PG.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Those. Yes. But it's just hard. And that's why I say that fulfillment word, right? Like we want to be the very best mm-hmm. version of ourselves that God's asked us to be. And some of that is also just being real and having those mistakes happen.
Yes.
And then saying, okay, Lord, help me now.
Yep.
I need you.
Absolutely.
I've done it wrong again.
Yep.
Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love in all Always. The things of my life. Cause I think about what's the last story about the two demon possessed men.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that's where the swear words were. That aren't written in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're possessed by Satan, by the devil. Like they're, you know, it's a demon that's possessing them. And so they're not going to be like, oh gosh darn.
Right.
Gee willy. You know, like it's literally gonna be words that obviously didn't need to be printed because that's not honoring to God, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think about those kinds of things and I go, oh gosh. I'm sure there were some swear words back then.
Oh, maybe I'm different, sure.
Different versions. But can you imagine when that person was possessed by the devil, by demons, by all those kinds of things. Like, what was coming out of their mouth and everyone around them going, the heck are they doing?
Right.
No, I don't know. Things Leslie thinks about.
It's interesting, though, during that time, they're like, are you here to torment us before the time?
Mm-hmm.
Like, uh-huh. It's legit. Like, they already know that there's a time that it's coming.
Uh-huh. Their days are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they're like, what are you going to do before us? And at that point, it's almost like, well, you're on Earth. Like, you're here, and you're making yourself known, and you're tormenting these people. Like, I'm going to handle it.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and that's also the only time that is this the one where he puts them in the pigs?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And it's the only time that he put them in the pigs. You know, prior to this, it just says he
didn't let them go. They just went away.
Yeah. So I always wondered about that. It's always been. Which I know they asked to go into the pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
On the offside, is that a good description, though, of when we ask God to do things our way
mm-hmm.
and we end up drowning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and if we had just done it his way.
Would we? Yeah.
It's like, instead of like, oh, there's a shortcut through the mountain, a cave through the mountain to get to the other side. Lord, help us get to the other side. And we're going all around the mountain and all the way around.
Yeah, is there an easier way to get to where we want to go? Well, yes, there's always an easier way.
Yeah.
But is it the way we're supposed to go?
Yep. Yeah.
That's the question. Those poor pigs, too. Anyway, sorry.
I always think about the farmers.
I need to. Because it's those Gentiles. You know, the Jewish people are not going to deal with the pigs. But the Gentiles were. And you're like, that was their livestock.
Yeah. Yeah. There it goes. Like, and that's why they said they wanted Jesus to leave. You know, I feel like that's probably a good, like, that's the reason. Like, there was cause and effect. He did that because that's what the demons asked him to do. And then he kind of, and I'm not saying, I don't think Jesus made a mistake. I do believe that there was obviously a lot more reason than I than I know of.
I really like pork, but I don't think I want to eat pork that's
possessed.
I don't feel like that would be. I think that would be very good.
I think I'll skip breakfast that day.
I love it.
So, chapter 9. Anybody? Rock, paper, scissors?
I'll read.
I wasn't going to say I vote Leslie, but I vote Leslie.
Okay. If I have to do actual talking, I'm just kidding. All right, chapter 9. This is now, I'm in the NLT on my iPad in large print, I'm sure.
No shame.
My crazy eyes. All right, chapter 9. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen, and they praised God for giving humans such authority. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." One day, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved." As Jesus was saying this, the leader of a synagogue came and knelt before him. "My daughter has just died," he said, "but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her." So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just then, a woman who had suffered for 20 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. "Get out," he told them. "The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." Then he touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Then their eyes were opened, and they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, "Don't tell anyone about this." But instead, they went and spread his fame all over the region. When they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. So Jesus cast out the demon, and then the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. "Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel," they exclaimed. But the Pharisees said, "He can cast out demons because he is empowered by the prince of demons." Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields."
Is this the, when they talk about, because I know, again, I always get the Gospels all kind of mixed up in regards to what stories where, because I know everybody tells the story a little bit different. You know, each story is told a little bit different in each Gospel. Is this the one where they, like, right in the beginning, where they put the man through the roof?
I don't think so. Oh, it might be. Let me look.
Because I thought that would happen in his hometown. But I also could be mistaken because that's how they had it depicted in The Chosen.
I've read that specifically. And I'm thinking it's a different time. I'm not sure. I get them all confused.
It's in Luke. But it could be. Hold on. So it's Luke 5. So Matthew 9, 1 through 8, Mark 2, 1 through 12, and Luke 5, 17 through 26, all depicted slightly differently. But yeah, it's the, Jesus describes Jesus healing a paralyzed man.
Okay, so it's the same story, just told without as much detail.
Different ways, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. I knew it was, I thought it was Matthew and Luke, but I didn't, couldn't remember Mark. And it's interesting how it's just slightly different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because he talks, he went to his home. Interesting.
It's the same way that they, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but that goes with at least this part. It's the same way where they talk about the bleeding woman here. You know, she.
Yeah.
Her faith is the same. The manner of which she does this is the same. But Jesus' reaction, as Matthew recorded, is not the same as it is in the other Gospels. Because the other ones, he's like, and I, again, I don't know which one. I'm assuming probably Luke, because I feel like I've actually read that one most recently. But it's, he turns around, "Who touched me?"
Mm-hmm.
Because he felt it go through him, right? Like, he felt that power. And, you know, his disciples are all like, "Lord, I mean, there's, we're walking so on a people. Crowded street. Like, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you." And he's like, no, you know, with intent. And he doesn't say that here. You know, it's just, it kind of, he's almost like he knew exactly who touched him, you know. And I'm sure he did. I'm not saying he didn't. I know he probably knew exactly who touched him when he said it anyway, if that's the way that it went down.
Yeah.
But. It's always interesting to me. Again, it's the same stories. It's just told differently because it's from your point of view and it's how you want it to be told. It's your narrative, right? The narrative, the base is the same. You know, you're not, he's depicting who Jesus is. He's depicting why Jesus came to this earth, how he fulfilled these prophecies, that he is who he says he is, you know, but there are certain ways that he just writes something a little bit different. And I think that kind of goes along with the whole, as long as you're not taking away from who Jesus is, and as long as you're not, you know, you'll, whatever denomination, whatever your feelings are in regards to certain scriptures or certain, you know, religious practices, as long as it's not taking away from who Jesus was, it doesn't matter. It's all washed away. Right. That's a non-salvation issue. And so, like, the way that they're still telling his story is a non-salvation issue, because the point of this is he healed this man because of his faith and the faith of his friends.
Yeah.
You know, he healed that woman. That woman was healed because of her faith.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of.
And the boldness to know that if she just sought him out. In whatever way that was, she felt like the touch of the robe, the M,
mm-hmm.
you know, was all she needed. But even if she had come up to him on the street and said it, yeah, he would have said, yep, your faith, let's go.
Luke 8:43. That's where it's talking about the woman who comes up and touches him.
Okay. And I just think, I can understand, like, I can relate with her. She doesn't want to bother him, right? Yeah. She doesn't want to go to him, and because she's probably in a very, for that to have been going on for as long as it has been, her mental state cannot be good because she's been secluded. She's not able to be with her family. She's not able to practice anything. Like, she's kind of left sequestered on her own, uh-huh, you know, and that's got to be hard, you know? Yeah. And so she knows that she's not probably welcome to do that, you know, to be in his presence, but also she doesn't feel worthy enough to say, you know, like, hey, come and heal me.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
That's the hard part. And she, 'cause in that culture too, she was so unclean, right?
Yeah.
So to feel that weight of that is super hard. You know, you hope to be like that woman who, if I could just get a touch or a glimmer,
yeah,
that would be enough. Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Now, let's think about her, I guess, her humbleness, you know, to be able to, in her faith, obviously,
is, yeah,
obviously quite strong to be able to do that and to know that she doesn't even need anything except to touch a thread of his garment. Yeah.
Just the hem. Amazing
and,
to me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something I think, you know, we always talk about the women of the Bible, and we haven't done it because Matthew's a longer book. So we're trying to, you know, go through it a little bit.
Darn Matthew.
I know. Gosh darn it. You know, but we always like to highlight these women, you know, and this one is, she's not named, but. Yep. Her faith is just amazing.
Can you imagine her, like, touching it and being healed, and then Jesus coming around and looking right at you? Yeah. Like, I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
For the first time to feel seen in how long, and it's seen by Jesus.
Yeah. Pretty, I guess I sit here and really think about it. It's really inspiring.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's courageous too.
Absolutely.
To fight your way through the crowd when you are kind of like that outcast or that, you know, whatever term that is for this, to just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's courageous. That's pretty.
It is.
It's amazing.
So to kind of still back it up, it's probably the verse I highlight in every Bible that I've ever owned, you know, in verse 12 where he says, now when he heard this, he said, it's not those who are well who need a doctor,
yeah,
but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Again, those are the ones that the people who are Bible bashing forget.
Yeah.
This is the one that we all can need a reminder. You know, I don't want to point fingers at just people that I know are using the Bible out of context, because I'm not saying, I think everybody probably does at some mm-hmm. point or one another. I'm sure I've done it here, you know, where this is what it means to me. Maybe that's not what God meant it to be, or is this what I think it means? And that's why my always disclaimer, hey, this is me. This is how I see it. You might see it totally different, and I might say something completely different to you, and that is why it's a living thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a yep. living Bible, because he speaks to us differently. And my goal is to make sure it's his voice that I'm hearing and not my own or somebody yeah. else's. So, but again, as long as everything's not taking away from Jesus, then it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's the whole, like, he came to transform the world, but not conform it. Like, but he didn't hide from the people that everybody else hid from, that nobody else talked to, that nobody else included and they talked about, right? He included them. He showed them. And that is something, I mean, you guys know, that's something I preach from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you are the only Jesus some of these people are ever going to see.
Yeah.
Or the yeah. only Jesus that loves them. They see the Jesus that hates them by enough people on social media, on regular media, on the news, on the newspapers and articles, everything. You see the hatred, but you forget the love.
Yeah. And I think that's why Jesus gives the command over and over and over, mm-hmm. you know, with gentleness and truth. You know, we don't say something's okay when the Bible says it's not okay, when it specifically says it's not okay. But that's the thing. It's not them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it pushes that gentleness, that gentleness. Yeah, we stand on the truth, but we tell them who Jesus is and why Jesus came and what he does, what he did for us. That, yeah, we are sinners. We all sin. We all fall short. We all deserve hell. And it's only because of Jesus loving us and coming down and sacrificing himself and being raised again that we're able to go to heaven to be with him. And that's what all of our hearts desire, is to be with God. You know, and I think that's why there is so much sin in the world, is because we're trying to cover up this need to be with God because we're separated from him because of the curse. Mm-hmm. And people cover it up with, oh, need to be with this person, need to, you know, drugs, whatever it might be, and whatever big thing it might be, and whatever little thing it might be, it's all sin in God's eyes.
Amen.
There's a guy that I follow on Instagram. Again, he has no idea who I am, no idea what we do. And I'm sure you guys have seen that. I'm pretty sure I've probably sent him some of his videos to you guys, but it's that his handles the Bible teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a guy who goes, you know, through and plays different parts. And I just saw one the other day, and I think it was Thursday, because I was in tears. I'm like, first of all, I shouldn't be on Instagram. I'm supposed to be working. Second of all, you know, he depicted, you know, a man coming up to the throne, right? Standing in front of God. Like kind of like a court, he was, you know, the way he had it as like a courtroom setting, right? So God's on the throne and Jesus is next to him, and you know, he's the man, and he just wears different hats so that way you know who he is. But you know, was standing there on trial, and you had Satan accusing him, right? Like, he's done A, B, C, D, E. He did broke this commandment. He's broke this commandment. He did this. He did all of these things. You know, and God's like, okay, and then he just, you know, he looks over at Jesus and said, you know, does the blood cover that?
Mm.
And Jesus says, yeah, the blood covers that. And he's like, okay, you're free. Go. And I was like, oh, you know, I was like, all right, don't mind me just in here crying in a reel, you know, because he's right. Like, that's exactly, that's, you know, the blood covers that. And, you know, it's hard to sometimes think that you deserve hell. That is one of the things I think I struggle with. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, and I think that,
or
so
if you
I
look at someone else,
yeah,
you know, especially when you put it on someone else, and you're like, well, they're pretty much a good person,
yeah,
but does it matter?
I know, and that's
they're not, because we're not.
Yeah, we're not. Like, I sin daily. I know I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know others do, and you know, it's hard. You know, it's hard to believe that as a good person, as somebody who doesn't commit murder, doesn't commit massive faux pas, you know, but my little sins are the same as somebody else's big sins. And that is so hard to get your head wrapped around, to know that you deserve hell just as much as the man on death row.
My unrighteous anger at my husband last week is just the same as what Hitler did.
But it doesn't feel like that.
No.
Well, you know, so there's this level of who's right, who's wrong in our world, right? Like, so many people want to, like, vilify. So the whole Newsboys yeah. Michael Tate.
Yes, holy smokes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not justifying anything of his sins, but removing their music from platforms frustrates me.
Yes.
Because that might be the only Jesus song that someone knows.
Yep.
Yeah. And you now said it doesn't matter anymore. Because I would like you to show me any song in the hymnal, in contemporary Christian music, all the way back to the harp, the lute, and the lyre, David's songs, that were not written by sinners.
Yep. Well, I mean, exactly. Look what David wrote. And
yes,
he wrote that a lot of times because of a sin he had in his life. And that was his reconciling with God.
Yeah. And so it's not to justify or to say he doesn't deserve some junk because he's a public figure. And when you're a public figure, you do put yourself out there for front row criticism, unfortunately. I'm not.
Yeah. No, you do.
But he's also a sinner, just like the rest of us.
He needs to be able to stand for what he's done. And but also know that if he does legit believe, ask for forgiveness in his heart, if he really is, then he deserves to be forgiven.
Amen.
I think.
Amen. And the music is still good. So, like, you know, even when some people complain about, like, Bethel and Elevation and all those things and the sin that is ensconced in every church, not just churches, but every church, that we shouldn't do those songs because there's a big scandal there or the big thing there. And I do understand what they're saying. There's some ways, some theological things here and there, blah, 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 blah. Okay. We don't stop reading a version of the Bible because maybe the author of, or one of the collaborators on it for the version of it, NLT. I don't know that there's any issues there. I'm saying we don't stop reading it because every person who wrote the Bible too is a sinner.
Yeah.
All the disciples were beautiful, horrible sinners.
Yeah.
God used them for extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. That we can do with each of us in our sin.
Yeah.
And I think that all comes down to comes out evil, God can use for good. So like you said, these songs might have been written by sinners. They might not have felt what they wrote, but that doesn't mean that we're not worshiping God.
Amen.
And I just think it's interesting because I'm hardest on myself, right? Like, oh, you just messed up today, Leslie. Mm-hmm. Nothing good happened. I don't know that maybe something today I said, in like not paying attention to what I was doing because I was having a bad day, didn't touch someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so I have to, be aware that I'm a sinner. I'm not saying don't be aware. I'm saying don't beat ourselves up over it. Because.
Yeah.
And of course, preaching to the choir because I'm really good at beating myself up. But
talking about just the sin that we do every day, it's our thoughts too. It's like and it shows that God knows our inner thoughts. Mm-hmm. Here when it's when he's healing the paralytic and it says the Pharisees say to themselves, and he answers them.
Yeah.
You think that would be a wake up call? Like, I didn't say that out loud. I'm pretty sure I did not move my lips. But he knows.
He knows the very hairs on our head. He knows the very thoughts within that head with hair. he knows everything because he created it.
Yeah.
And he still loves it. No matter what.
Yep.
Yep.
That doesn't inspire you to follow? Gosh.
I think the one thing that I think everybody's kind of dropping the ball on with, Michael Tate and everything, is just that it's a proof that spiritual warfare is real. He was doing a good thing. He was bringing people to Christ, right? I mean, through his music, not only through DC Talk, but then Jars of Clay and everything. And that's right. It was Jars of Clay or was it Newsboys? Sorry. See, I knew, I'm like, that doesn't feel right. I was saying it out loud. I'm like, that one's not right.
What is the other one?
Audio Adrenaline was the last. I went to those two, but Jars of Clay, I was listening to it earlier, so it was in my head. But he did so much, and that group still does so much. How many times? So I still listen to DC Talk, like their old stuff, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying I was a massive Newsboys fan. I wasn't even before he joined, but they have some really good songs, you know, and their message is, I mean, I will always support that, you know, that narrative, you know, I will Jesus songs that don't stink. Let's listen to those, you know? And so it just shows you that sometimes that when you're doing such good things, you are underneath so much attack, like spirit, people kind of poo-poo or just kind of overlook the whole spiritual warfare thing and not really believing or seeing that we can't see it. Mm-hmm. You know, just because we can't see it doesn't mean we're not surrounded by darkness.
Yeah.
And he just, unfortunately,
fell in.
He just, he succumbed to it. And again, like you said, he needs to repent and he needs to come back.
Yeah.
And he, you know, we also, as a Christian community, also need to surround him. Yeah. And not just forget the good things that he did.
And pray for him that he really does legit see what he did was wrong and repent. Like, legit repent.
Yeah, like, not just saying publicly.
It. Yeah. But, you know.
There's a country artist. I think he's Rhett Walker or something like that. Because people were calling for the end of, you know, contemporary Christian music because it's full of sinners. Mm-hmm. And he goes, wait, what? You're right. It is.
It always has
been.
We all are. Let's move on. Like, that's, I mean, he didn't make it that simple, but it was that simple. Like, like, we need to end all things if we're going to end that, do you know what I mean, for that reason.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I like how bring it back. I know we went on a little tangent. Let's,
we don't do that very often. Oh, wait.
No, wait. But he, you know, it says Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. And that just brings you back to the end. Run. That's, he says, go and tell, right? Mm-hmm. Go and spread the good news.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like bringing the middle of us to the end and saying, like, he's doing, he's showing us exactly what we should be doing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what 8, 9, and 10 are about. You know, it's showing him, it's bringing the kingdom to our day-to-day lives.
Who he's created us to be.
Yep.
I do love how in this entire chapter, the Pharisees are trying to be like, hey, did you see what they just did there? Why are they doing that? That's the wrong thing. I mean, it's like, come on now. I mean, I get that that's their job, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, and it kind of shows, too, that, you know, they were very legalistic, you know.
Yes.
You had to follow A, B, C in that order.
Yep.
And it was, you know, you was talking about the Leviticus laws. But it also shows how impossible it was to follow all that. And that was just to get you into paradise, you know. That wasn't even get you where you could be with God in heaven. It was only Jesus coming that did that. And it, it just shows kind of how we are too. You know, we do that. We're like, no, you can't listen to that music. You can't say this. You can't wear that. You can't, you know, the carpet of the church can't be pink, you know.
That's just in general, I'm sure. No, but I totally agree with what you're saying. Like, I love what I love, right? Like, I like what I like here. I like this in worship. I like this in my Christian life. I like this in my friends. I like that. If I'm honoring God,
nothing else matters.
Yep.
Like y'all said before, as long as I'm trying to do the work he set before me and the life he's shown me to have with my husband, my family, all those things, as long as I'm honoring him,
Yep.
And I'm doing the task that he set before me.
Right.
I think the neat thing is, you know, kind of at the end of 9, where he's really trying to start to set the disciples up, mm-hmm. that you guys are going to have to start really paying attention, because here we're going.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're going to get to that part of the job here pretty soon where y'all have to help me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up then for chapter 9. So we'll go on to chapter 10 next time. So that way you guys aren't sitting here for 3 hours as we just ramble on about our musings, but also, you know, going through the book of Matthew. So we look forward to meeting with everybody next time. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.